Blog Talk Radio.
All right, and welcome to the Kate Thompson Live Show. It is that time, ladies and gentlemen, and it is that evening. It's 8 to 9 p.m. hour. It's Wednesday, April 6th, I believe, 2016, and you've reached us on the Blog Talk Radio Network, blogtalkradio.com, and the Kate Thompson Show, /Kate Thompson Live. I am the son, also known as Eric Penguin, the co-host. We'll be waiting for Wayne Gibble. Will be calling in momentarily, and you are?
I am Kate Thompson, and mother of Eric Payne. And welcome, everyone, to the show, because we do have a lot of things on the map today I want to tell you about it, and a lot of exciting things. As a matter of fact, there's a lot of exciting things going on downtown Newark. So much in the news, we never seem to have enough time, to talk about all the things, that's going on downtown Newark and all over the country. While we're talking about, the presidential, election that's going on, the whole debate and whatnot. As a matter of fact, right now, the man who is causing a whole lot of trouble, who is promising the world, of course, that's none other than Donald Trump, is right now in Newark. Not in Newark, I'm sorry, in New York. And, Long Island in New York. And so he is, he has a huge, amount of people, although there's some people, that you do hear some booze now, because he did say a few things that were so out of line, talking about, women and, doing all kinds of silly nonsense, certainly not befitting the office of the presidency for, someone like that to be, running again. But anyway, let's go to some other things happening. Oh, I want to say congratulations to Judge Wilfredo Benitez, who is now one of the presiding judges over municipal court in Belleville, New Jersey. And that makes court number 2 or 3, 4, Judge Benitez. Anyway, we want to say happy, but congratulations to Wilfredo. So we're going to be talking.
He was appointed for clarification of municipal court judge in the township of Belleville, New Jersey.
Right. Okay. So we're going to be talking to him again, because we're going to be getting into a little more personal in, interview with him. We want to find out more about it. Also, looking at Newark, there are so many different events. There are more than 100 citywide events happening still with Newark celebrating its 350-year-long spectacular activities. And so many different things going on. So welcome to Wayne Gilman.
Hey, good evening, Kay. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
I guess okay.
You don't sound okay. You guess? You either know or you don't know. What's up?
Well, there are times that I find it safer when I don't know. My life is unpredictable. So, if something happens, let it be a surprise. I just hope it's not tonight. Anyhow, how are you, Kay? We missed you last week, by the way.
Well, I was standing around, and wanted to hear what you guys were talking about. You did have Judge Wilfredo Benitez on, you and Eric, and the three of you really were doing quite well without me, and I was listening in. It was great. I was right here.
Thank you.
He is now the presiding judge of the municipal.
The municipal court judge.
Okay. I'll have to get that straight, really. And so we're going to be having him on again. And certainly a whole lot of things are happening in Newark, some good and some bad. And I'm really tickled with Vonda McPherson down there at down there at Duke's, because what she is she has invited the president to have lunch down there. And that's at Duke's restaurant downtown Newark.
Is that about to happen or you don't know
yet? No, she's inviting him. She's in the process of inviting him.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah, I wanted to talk, and you know, as we all know, that the news, the election news, Donald Trump obviously losing Wisconsin, some of the hot news that's been on. We just had the primary last night in Wisconsin and a couple other states, and Trump thought he was going to win, and Ted Cruz pulled off the win in Wisconsin. So it kind of makes things a little bit more difficult for Donald Trump to get the nomination of the Republican Party. It seems that they're galvanizing their anti-Trump forces for the convention in Cleveland. And they say that in Wisconsin, the voters in Wisconsin, what was it, Trump needs, to win the nomination, he needs 58% of the remaining delegates to win the nomination. So, and they were talking about some of the other facts where one-third of Republican voters in Wisconsin do not want to vote for Donald Trump and would either vote for him, and these are Republicans, a third of Republican voters in Wisconsin would not vote if Trump was the nominee, and some would vote for Hillary, or some would not vote at all. So there you go. And 58% of those Wisconsin Republicans are concerned or scared about Donald Trump being the nominee. So it should be interesting, their convention, especially now that they've brought the fight to New York, the Trump and Cruz fight to New York. Trump, as you mentioned, Ma, being in Long Island today holding his rally. And Ted Cruz had the nerve to go to the Bronx where they have 2% white people and probably even a smaller percentage of Republicans. And shortly before he spoke, some guy, I guess a guy was walking by or walking through, and he walked in and said Ted Cruz was a right-wing robot or something like that. So, and they kind of ushered him out a little bit. He walked out. But even Ted Cruz had a heckler here in the Bronx bringing that right-wing stuff. What do you think as a New Yorker, Wayne, about it?
Well, I'm sorry that I was not aware of Cruz actually thinking that he would, have the audacity after what he said about New Yorkers several months ago to set foot in the Bronx of all places, the most minority-populated borough of all the five boroughs in New York City. And, I'm saying minority, but people of color. The predominance of all five boroughs reside in the Bronx. And, I'm just curious as to who would actually have a forum for him, not to say that we don't have people we're not a monolith as a community. I guess that's what I'm trying to get out my mouth. But at the same time, I guess the thing is, I'm just curious as to who held this event for him, and probably a group of Republicans who are of, right-wing leaning and things of that sort. I do know out in Long Island there was a tremendous protest against Trump. And, there was talk in the news the other day about people feeling uncomfortable walking around with Trump, political material like sweatshirts and T-shirts to promote his campaign, because the tide is obviously turning at this point. And I really think the Republican contest is going to be in shambles. Cruz is too extreme. I've said that all along. Trump is, on another planet. And Kasich I like, but I don't think he'll be able, and there's even baggage with him from time to time, I hear. But, I don't know if they can pull this one off. And I'm just glad that at least, the world is coming together. All the elements of the planets are aligning properly. And we'll just have to see what happens in November.
Wayne, also, he's got a big problem. He's got a big problem, with women, with the information that he's been giving out about women and about abortion. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Here he is running for the most important, office in the entire world, and he has the nerve to say the things that he did about, women's right or not right for abortion. I mean, this is absolutely insane. He sort of blew it with everyone. So he's in the amounts that he's getting, in the different crowds there. Yeah, there are people who are for him, but now you're hearing more women not for him. They really don't like this. This is this would be dastardly, really, if Trump became president of the United States of America. That would be a total crime.
Kay, he only has himself to blame. I mean, this has been a situation. I think Americans are frustrated for a variety of reasons about what's going on with the economy. There were expectations that were primarily looking to come out of this current administration that didn't come to pass. They're young people who perhaps are not aware of basically where the logjam is, unless they were paying attention and realized this is not Barack Obama's fault. But at the end of the day, the problem still exists. Yes, there's more employment, but the quality of the employment, people getting paid. Only now, within the last year or so, you see where people are leaving other jobs to go on to get jobs that will pay a little more and things of that nature. The economy is not firing at all pistons yet, but it's a heck of a lot better than it was when Obama took over in 2008. And I think, you know, with all due respect to Senator Sanders, his campaign has really caught on like wildfire, but he's only speaking to one particular demographic. And even though they consider themselves informed, I think there's a frustration there in that particular demographic where they feel, you know, a lot of the burdens of what people of our age group and older have gone through, they don't want that on their shoulders. But there are no quick fixes in this life, you know? It's just one of those things. And it's not to say that his candidacy should not be looked at. You know, there are a lot of things that he says I agree with, but realistically, it's just not going to happen, you know? So we pray that at least the obvious person who would probably land in that position when it comes time for the Democrats to corral, hope that she maintains, you know, this is my opinion, not that of Kate Thompson Live. I hope that, you know, she's able to continue.
You're talking about Hillary, right?
Hillary Clinton, yeah. I hope she becomes the first female president.
She's the most qualified. She's the one who's traveled all over the world, you know, dealing with problems all over the world. So no one else running for that office, you know, has that kind of those kinds of qualifications. She's outspoken, very strong, but she's a woman, and you know, that's when I say but. Now I'm bringing in, you know, that you know the line of Trump. He is definitely anti-woman. He's anti-everything. As a matter of fact, I'm afraid to say he really exists because he's a joke. You know, we have a comedian, an entertainer, you know, running for the office of presidency. And it is just so unreal, you know, that, you know, you hate to even think about the real possibility of this man becoming, you know, the president of the United States. But, you know, Wayne, I want to go to you locally.
Let's see. I want to make a point.
Okay, go ahead.
While we're talking about Donald Trump, I wanted to make a comment about his whole blunders in terms of a lot of the things he was saying, the foreign policy issues, his stance on abortion when being interviewed by Chris Matthews. That really seemed to be or was obviously a turning point. But more than that, saying something as crazy as women should be punished. If you watch the interview and you watch that particular segment of the interview, I didn't see the whole thing. That particular segment of the interview where, you know, you have an aggressive interviewer like Chris Matthews, someone who's not going to kind of really let him get away with this extra Donald Trump with the talking and the filling up time with just kind of nonsense talking and not really saying anything. But when he asked him about abortion, was firing these questions at him, you can see that Donald Trump is the type of person who just obviously, the way he's been running his campaign is kind of like, what I say goes, and doesn't really expect people to challenge him on the decisions or the answers that he gives to certain questions. And you can see that that's the habit or the reflex of a guy who's wealthy, a guy who's used to telling people what to do, used to having people kiss his butt, not question him. And so you get an individual like Chris Matthews and ask, well, should women be punished? And if you watch the way he answers the question in his body language and expression on his face, it's almost like he's trying to, like when you take a multiple choice test, and it's almost like Donald Trump has been asked that. And you could visualize him seeing the test in his mind, and he finally goes to the side, and if you look at his head, he kind of nods his head and says, yes, they should be punished for abortion. It's almost like, I'm going to guess and choose that one. That's the one I'm choosing, and I'm going to roll with it. And then you can see there's no real thought or no real contemplation about it. It's just, this is a multiple answer test. I'm going to make a choice and choose that one. You know, and it's almost like, do you think about how that sounds coming out of your mouth? So you're saying, and by then the cat was out the bag. You said, yeah, women should be punished for abortion. It's like, what? I mean, the guy hasn't really thought about any of these subjects clearly longer than what entertains him for the time being to think about these things, and longer than someone asking him his opinion so he can hear himself talk. But you really see that there's, I mean, something that every thinking people have known, and half the Republican Party has known, that there's just nothing there. There's bluster, and there's the I'm rich. And I'm going to make everybody rich too. I mean, that's the one thing that poor people want to see when they have from their rich friend, or they want to hear from their rich friend, is I'm rich, let me show you how to be rich too. And that's why all these people, I mean, we live in a culture of worshiping of celebrity. We worship wealth, and Donald Trump is those two things rolled into one. And then you throw the element of our issue with race in the United States, and he really is the trifecta of what the base of the Republican Party wants to see. The lowest common denominator of people in America, you know, the reality shows have kind of brought that confrontational, disrespectful discourse in America. They've brought that to the forefront and made that an acceptable form of expression, an acceptable form of entertainment, and an acceptable form of communicating. So now you have this guy who is really a pig. He's a savage. He's just a rich one. You know, but he still is an uncouth, ill-mannered person. He just is someone who has got all the money, and so nobody really checks him on it. And if you look at the difference between him and his kids, you know, you can see some of his kids who really seem to be refined, but he's really a gruff, foul-mouthed individual who really has no sort of self-reflection to think about anything.
A lack of character.
Yeah, well, it's much like any rich person or any person who has been given things or had his way all his life. And I submit that individual will never really be able to be an effective public representative, an effective representative for the government or for the people.
I agree with you, Eric. I mean, the whole world is watching this. State Secretary John Kerry today made an announcement with respect to how places that he's visiting around the world as the Secretary of State, and everyone is commenting on the presidential elections, and the focus has been on Donald Trump. I mean, you are absolutely right. That Sarah Palin moment that he had with Chris Matthews reminds me of when Katie Couric had asked Sarah about the Soviet Union, and, I see it from Alaska. I see the Soviet Union from my house. You know, I mean, it's duh. You know, I mean, not to denigrate, but I mean, the bottom line is, it was so apparent he's ill-informed. He does not think before he speaks. And I have a problem with, well, I don't know, Kay. I've been accused of that from time to time myself. But I tell you, I mean, if you're running for the presidency, you have to know all your talking points. You have to have everything in order. And it's just one of those things. The multiple choice quiz is so, he's gotten away with it for so long, and he didn't expect that question.
He didn't have to do anything. He's rich, and he did The Apprentice, and he's an entertainer, and he was so used to saying you're fired, and that gave him a certain amount of authority in his head. And everybody was listening to him. So I don't see how in the world that he jumps from being an entertainer to thinking that he could be the president of the United States. except that a lot of people, you know, they immediately got onto this, and, you know, now he is an entertainer. But I'm going to throw a real, something at you that I want to hear you answer. Mayor de Blasio in the city of New York. How is he doing? Might he run for president one of these days? You think he's qualified?
You know, it's interesting.
He certainly has a wonderful family.
Yeah, it would be an interesting phenomenon if that were to happen. I mean, he's quite charismatic. I mean, not everyone in New York is in approval of all that he's doing. He's certainly taken a lot of, you know, backhanded talk from the police union. And of course, the Republicans and the conservatives out here who would rather see nothing more but one term of de Blasio. But he's getting things done. It's not an easy city to be in. And, you know, having the police commissioner, you know, basically the two of them are just running the city, because I don't care what anyone is saying, there's been an uptick in crime here. They're trying to anesthetize and keep a certain measure of civility and calm. But, you know, when it gets to the point where you have to look over your shoulder if you're riding the subway, there's something to be said of that. You know, you can't walk down the street. And I'm at a point where if I have to go into Manhattan, I think twice about forking over maybe $40 an hour for parking, as opposed to taking, you know, a subway metro car for $2.75. It's scary.
I find it very interesting that de Blasio, in his role as head of New York, you know, one of the major cities, you know, in our country, you know. I'm just wondering when he's going to even voice an opinion about Trump running for president.
Oh,
he's a wonderful wife and two kids. And, you know, I like what I hear about him. He doesn't have such a good reputation with the police department. I think probably because of the fact that you have a lot of racists in your police department over there. We know that, don't we, Wayne?
Right. Exactly.
So, you know, they didn't do anything to. They just can't figure that out. But I would really like to hear what he would have to say about that. That was really very interesting.
He's condemned Trump, and he's now come out favorably for Hillary, because at one time he was holding her feet to the fire. But you know, as we're getting near to November and the primary, not the primary, but the convention that's going to take place. He's come out and has endorsed, you know, and I just think the coronation will sooner or later happen now after the Wisconsin contest, because all the other states that to come with their primaries and caucuses will be in favor of the strongest of the candidates in both parties. And regrettably, that might favor Trump as well as it may not, you know. Wisconsin is a strange state. It's also a barometer because there are a lot of conservatives in that state. So I guess there was no surprise that Cruz carried it. But if Trump were a stronger candidate, I'm certain he would have given Cruz a run for his money. But it was politically a bad week for him. You know, and Trump has only himself to blame because he's not as informed as he'd like to say he is. And that's that. So
he's informed about The Apprentice.
Oh, please.
You know? He's informed about The Apprentice. I'd like to hear him talk about something about more about the wall, you know, that he's so-called going to be in Mexico. I know that the president of Mexico said, oh, really? No kidding.
Yeah.
What wall?
Well,
he sounds like a little kid playing with toys. You know?
Yeah.
He does it, and it's so annoying, but it's also funny. Is it entertainment? Yes, but we don't need a clown in the White House.
Well, it is entertaining, but it's what the world is looking at when it comes to the United States. It's like we've lost a certain amount of political luster when you stop and see, you know, someone as limited as Trump, and because of his money and his wealth, has been able to, you know, finance a campaign that's put him in a very lofty position. Now, don't get me wrong, Michael Bloomberg, equally as rich, could have done the same thing, but at least there's a gravitas. There's an understanding about politics. There's a degree of civility with Bloomberg. You know,
is Bloomberg
he was
do you think he's going to jump into the race? Bloomberg.
No, I think it's too late for him now. At one time, he was considering it, but he just said it a couple of weeks ago that it's too far gone for him to even enter. But it's going to be interesting to see what happens out of if I had my press badge right now, I would want to be at that Republican convention to see that's going to be historic.
That should be pretty historic. I mean, it should be certainly great TV because if some of Trump's supporters, I fully expect them to be extremely boisterous if they don't get their way. You know, we didn't talk about the Democratic side because Bernie Sanders' win in Wisconsin was kind of slowing Hillary down or just putting more obstacles in her way to achieving the nomination. And he seems to be still trying to come on pretty strong. And certainly they're going to have that debate in Brooklyn on the 14th this month, so that should be interesting.
I think New York, even though, Sanders is from Brooklyn and, he talks like a certain segment of our Brooklyn community, and that's one something indelible about his accent, regardless of where you go, you hear the Brooklyn in this guy. But the bottom line is that I don't think that's going to be enough to carry him over the top. I'm not disqualifying the impact of the Jewish vote in New York because this is like their Barack Obama going back to 2007. But I think there's enough support for Hillary to come out there. I know she's scheduled to be the keynote speaker at Reverend Sharpton's convention coming up on the 13th. I mean, Sanders is also to follow, but, she's going to lead that off. She was at Black Girls Rock the other day. She's been in Pennsylvania. I think she was in Newark, if I'm not mistaken. And I wanted to ask you guys, regarding what's going on out there politically.
Yeah, that's where Black Girls Rock took place, in Newark. So.
Oh, okay, it was in Newark. At the New Jersey PAC.
New Jersey PAC, Performing Arts. One of the things that concerns me, and I'm hoping that these guys can mend the fences, is after the primary, what we want to so far, Bernie and Hillary have been running a pretty good campaign in terms of not replicating or doing what the Republicans are doing in terms of the way that Republicans are just going after each other. But we really want to see to make sure that the Democratic Party is able to heal, the rift, or there's not really going to be a rift as much as, say, there was with Hillary and Obama 2008. But we want the Sanders supporters, if it's Hillary or the Hillary supporters, if it's Sanders, to be able to come into the fold and support the nominee, whoever that may be. And I just, one of the concerns is that even though we agree to disagree within the family, so to speak, that when it's time to go out outside of the house, outside of the family, that we can all come together, because it's really going to take that effort for the Democrats to win. Even though all the polls say that Hillary matched up against Trump, Hillary would win, Bernie matched up against Trump, Bernie would win. Probably the same thing with Ted Cruz, but we want to be sure, absolutely sure, that we get the White House, that we are able to continue what Barack Obama has started, because some of the plans that the Republicans have would just be devastating for the average working class American. And, some of the things that the Democrats have need to be worked on, too. I mean, the Obamacare, the health insurance, the Affordable Health Care Act needs to be perfected and worked on and worked out. Myself am getting some of that. And there's some drawbacks about it in terms of the cost and things like that. But at least it's a step in the right direction. I mean, these are things that would certainly come to a halt, in my view. And if you listen to the Republicans, certainly come to a halt if we have a Republican presidency. So hopefully we can go and get the White House. And then, Trump, if the Republicans suffer a lot more damage, maybe we could potentially take back the Senate and the House and really be able to do some good, in the upcoming years.
Yeah, yeah. And also,
I agree.
We're Oh, are we going to be able to get Donald Payne, Ferguson, Donald Payne?
I texted him. I don't know if he'll be available tonight.
Yeah, yeah, we're going to be, we have him on, you know, on alert, you know, and he
right.
may be, you know, in you know, be in doing C-SPAN or something like that. But anyway, if he can do that, if we are going to be talking, then we were with him the other night. So, we, you know, things are going quite well. And as a matter of
yeah.
fact, just yesterday, you know, with Wilfredo, Judge Wilfredo Benitez is swearing in. So everything is, you know, going along with that. But, you know, the thing, Wayne, I have really been, you know, what, you know, there's so much on television regarding these episodes and these series. This is apart from politics, really. But it really involves politics. The O.J. Simpson case, you know, on FX and on demand and really kind of amusing. But anyway, you know, I was the one that got, was able to interview, you know, Johnny, you know?
Right,
and,
right.
Johnny, you know, what's his last name?
Ray?
Johnny?
I forgot.
The attorney for O.J. I just can't think of his name. Johnny?
Oh, Cochran you're talking about. Right,
yeah,
right.
Cochran. Here I have a C down here, and I want to say see something, but Cochran, yes. And remember when I interviewed him when he came to WLIB, and I was the one who got the interview. I don't know how, but I did. And he said, I asked him, I said, "Did Johnny, tell me, did O.J. do it?" And he looked at me, and he said, "O.J.," he said, "Thompson," he said, "O.J. told me, he said to me that he didn't do it." So to all those people who didn't get that series, that's what I want to say. That's what Johnny Cochran said to me, you know, on WLIB radio. So I have that, you know, in quotes somewhere. So it was really kind of amusing. But anyway, so
yeah.
many things are going on, you know, it's really absolutely amazing. And as a matter of fact, another thing, this is on a light level, you know, instead of a heavy, you know, political kind of thing and talking about Donald Trump. I'm so sick and tired of Trump. Boy, I'm sorry. But anyway, I'll tell you another interesting thing that people may be interested in. You know, Nina Simone, there is a documentary out on her. Nina
right.
Simone. You've got to see it. It
oh,
is
you've seen,
riveting.
It is
riveting.
Is that on TV?
Riveting.
I'm not sorry. I'm sorry, Kay. Is that something in the theaters or on television?
I have to ask Eric, but I saw it, and it was long. And I think it may be on Netflix, but I'm just not sure. But I did see it. It was on my computer. It was one of the most fantastic stories I have seen. You know,
yeah.
What she went through. But she was absolutely brilliant. Eric, was the Nina Simone story, where did we find that on? Was that on Netflix or what? Do you know? Because I was watching the, yeah. No, I was watching the documentary. Anyway, if anybody can see it, you will be absolutely in shock, amazed. God, it was ran the emotions all kinds of ways.
I'm glad you brought that up because it is a story that needs to be told about this fabulous singer. But more importantly, there are two young ladies that were interns while we were working at WLIB years ago who are now representing Nina Simone's family. I believe her brother is still alive. I saw this on TV a few weeks ago. I don't know if
wow.
you remember Karen and Alicia Crow.
C-R-O-W-E.
Yeah, okay. They're twins. They used to look,
uh-huh.
I mean, they favored each other a great deal. They're both attorneys now. I mean, they were just in high school when we knew them. And I know they're in the New York area. I just don't know exactly where their office is. I want to say maybe in Rockland County, but they represent the family. And it would be interesting to hear what Nina Simone's brother has to say about the film.
I would love to talk to somebody. I would love to talk to somebody in that family. I'll see if I can find them.
Yeah.
You know, when she sang... I saw her, I think it was almost her last performance in Newark, but I think it may have been. I'm not sure about this, but I did see her down at Symphony Hall in Newark years and years ago, and that
wow.
was the first time that she had sang the song, and that she ended it with Mississippi Goddamn.
Right,
and the audience went absolutely bonkers, and I was one of them. So, you know, And I had really, I was following her career, you know, and she was just so fantastic. And her story was sad, but it was happy. It was strong. She was a real, real, you know, performer. But the voice and the message,
yeah,
I mean, it's tremendous. So,
oh,
boy,
yeah, she's a great talent, you know.
Yeah.
I liked one of her earlier hits, Please Don't Make Me Be Misunderstood, if I'm not saying it properly. It was covered by The Animals, the British group, years ago, became very popular with them. I didn't realize that she had recorded the original, and a beautiful rendition of it.
Wow,
and,
I didn't know that.
She also sang Strange Fruit. You know, which
I remember that.
Oh,
yeah.
That is such
that
a
song.
Moving piece. Yeah, about, you know, people being lynched in the South and seeing bodies swinging in the trees. I mean, that, I tell you, it's a tremendous talent. I'm going to make a search because I meant to tell you about that. We get to talking so much off the air, Kay. I meant to tell you a couple of weeks ago about the Crow Girls, and I'm so happy that they're, you know, they're successful lawyers, and you know, I'm proud of everybody, as I know you are, with your family and the successes that you've had, to see people that you had in your employ once and become who they are today, you know.
Yeah, it's amazing. Also, you know, I don't know, every now and then I get these little flashes of names, and then I have to fit them together. Down at City Hall in New York, there was a man who was the elevator operator, and his name was Ray Dandridge. And he was a friend of Roberto Clemente.
Oh.
And Roberto Clemente
player.
Was a famous baseball player. He was worshipped in Puerto Rico. His wife had come to Channel 47, to Canal 47, Channel 47. That's the extent of my Spanish. And her name, her name was Vera Clemente, really pretty. And I got to interview her in Mayor Gibson, Ken Gibson's office, because she was getting an award or something from the mayor because of Roberto's, you know, fame in baseball.
Mm.
So, can you beat that?
Yeah, I guess
Hello?
You can, you know. Another one of those defining moments.
Yeah.
Speaking of Newark, you know, I understand there was an attempt on the mayor's life. That
was
in the news a couple of
yesterday. I read that.
Yeah. What's going on there?
That.
I was surprised.
Don't know.
I didn't hear anything about that. When did this allegedly take place?
It was on the news a couple of days ago that somebody, two guys, were plotting to take Ross Baraka out. And they had a little, I don't think the news conference in which they showed on TV had anything to do with the attempt, but the authorities were just on top of it. And as soon as I get in front of a computer, I'm going to try to see if I could get some background information on it, because I was surprised to see it. And I saw our former colleague, Felipe Luciano, in the background. So, you know, this was about maybe 2 or 3 days ago, but a plot was taking place, and the police, the authorities were able to uncover it before anything happened. But he's done so much for Newark. I can't understand why anybody would be so stupid as to any political figure, God forbid. I mean, it's not just him alone. You know, to be an elected official today, and I, you know, give many props to Congressman Payne and his dad and everyone else in those positions. You know, it's not an easy thing to do, and you want people to like you, but not everybody shares the same opinion. And I just don't know what led to that, really.
Yeah, I don't know why, you know, that's I had heard that there were threats. Some people made threats on him, but I didn't know they actually made an attempt to hurt him some kind of way. But I don't – I find it's kind of bizarre to me just when I initially heard that, because I'm wondering what type of position or what type of positions Ross Baraka has taken, or how powerful, or he doesn't seem to be in a particularly powerful position. I mean, he's the mayor of Newark, and that's a powerful position. I'm talking about in terms of to be someone that people would target for harm, is kind of like, well, what, you know, what is the value of taking out Rod Baraka, basically?
Exactly.
Why? What makes him so valuable that someone would want to do him harm, or what makes what he's done or his effect so effective that he's considered someone that has to be dealt with in that way? And I don't know of anything that he's done that really is monumental to that point where you would think that it would cause people to react, resort to violence in terms of, you know, assassinating people, doing harm. So I heard something similar to that. I'm just wondering what's behind it, you know, what's really behind it.
I agree.
As I said, are you cracking down on the gang violence? Are you cracking down on gang activity? Is it something like that? And then secondly, there should be no threats on the mayor's life, in a city, certainly a city like North, or any city, when you have a police force. You know, the city has a city government and a law enforcement agency. And to me, it's quite bold for criminals to actually come out and make a statement or let it be known that they're, whoever these people are, that they're after the mayor of that city when he has the disposal of the full police force and many other agencies at his disposal. It seems that if you wanted to go to war, so to speak, with someone, you probably would not choose someone who is the chief executive officer for a municipality or someone who has a lot of power with which to fight you back. You know, it just seems a little bit odd to me. But once again, I don't know why. Maybe Raz Baraka is awakening some people and some people don't like it or whatever. Hopefully, he'll continue to be protected and no harm will come to him.
Yeah.
I certainly hope so. I agree with you, Eric. And the only thing controversial I can think of is this issue with the water in the schools, but that has nothing to do with him. I mean, this is not Flint, Michigan. We're not talking about a cover-up or some clandestine campaign to have people sickened, you know, the way it's, played out in Michigan, one would think, you know, given the sequence of events there. Thank God that he had the common sense to when he first heard about a complaint to have the infrastructure of these aging institutions invested. Exactly. So I just don't understand that, you know.
Well, that when according to a report that I read not too long ago, it was because the old pipes. Newark is a very old city. I think it's one of the oldest cities in the state. Am I right here?
Yeah.
Newark,
right.
Yeah. And, you know, and the schools, a lot of them are old now. There's a whole lot of, you know, new construction that had gone on, and a whole lot of the schools look absolutely fantastic, you know. But the little kids, the elementary schools, you know, where the kids are drinking water every single day, you know, that's part of them going to, the lavatory, and then, of course, everybody gets water. But it's because of the pipes are so old. And
that would be the old structures, the old schools.
Right.
It's not that New York has so many new schools, because obviously they have new schools. You have the older schools, the old schools, which have piping systems that have been around for, you know, a number of years. That's what caused the deterioration in the pipes.
Yeah.
And that's what causes the lead poisoning.
But I think that's going to be really, going to be happening with a lot of schools. It's probably happening now because these schools, around the country are older. And they do have to be dealt with because the fact that, you know, you're dealing with children. And that has to be, you know, and they're really working on that. So there's not that much I can say about it. But I'm going to check it out and find out what the what's happening with it and what's going to be done about it. And I know things are happening now. So we'll see.
Right.
A lot of the infrastructure, just like the infrastructure, just like the Fountain Flint, the city pipes, the infrastructure that's been around for 60, 50, 70, in some cases 80, 90 years, is finally starting, and it's finally starting to have wear and tear, and that's in a lot of communities across the country, and the schools are part of that infrastructure that's been around since the 40s and things like that. So certainly within the school system, and as you said, many times it's affecting children, that certainly makes the issue a lot more urgent. And a certain amount of urgency is thrown into the mix in terms of having the problem dealt with in an expedient manner. And going back to your original point, Wayne, that's the only thing you think about Raz Baraka doing is addressing the water, but certainly that would, you wouldn't think that that would rise to the level of someone having to threaten him, threaten his
right.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, again, having known his family for a long period of time, his mother, Amina Baraka, and father, Baraka, Amiri Baraka, and his mother, Amina, they had come on the show. And people can watch this show on YouTube with Kay Thompson.
Right.
It was on, and Amiri came on, and Amina came on.
An older episode of Kay Thompson Live.
Yeah.
That's available on YouTube when Kay Thompson Live was done in conjunction with GoPro Radio.
Right. Right. And also, I have to say this, you know, Amiri is so amusing. We've known each other for a long period of time because of the fact that they were the part of the, how can I say it, Black Power movement in the 60s, I think it was, or 70s, you know. And I asked Amina because she is a wonderful, fantastic jazz singer. Wow, can she sing? I mean, so I asked her, I said,
right.
Amina, yeah, and I said, Amina, would you please sing for us? I know you're a good jazz singer. Would you please sing it? I didn't even have to say anything else. And she broke out in song with this jazz song, and I forgot what it was, but I sat there and she didn't need any urging. So, and she's a beautiful lady. She's a good friend. And, you know, Amiri was a good poet and, of course, caused a whole lot of, you know, negativity between the, you know, the local governments and, you know, the white structure that was there. It was a time when the whites were sort of, you know, black and whites weren't getting along, let's be frank about it. But anyway, that was a different era that I have gone through. And Eric was a baby.
Oh, was he?
But anyway, really interesting history. And then going to LIB at the same time, teaching school at the same time that I had businesses. Listen, I found out a whole lot.
Right.
Okay?
Get to that a little different turn. I just wanted to talk about, you know, they have the president's Supreme Court nominee, Merrick Garland, who is finally getting a few more Republicans that seem to want to come around and at least sit down and talk with him. I've heard early on today on some newscasts that potentially another 14 Republican senators are willing to meet with him, too, at least are calling for giving him a hearing. So it seems that at least some of the clearer thinking Republicans are realizing that this guy really is a good compromise nominee for the Supreme Court. Right, in place of Anton Scalia, right, and that the space that has been vacated by his death, and that this gentleman is really a good compromise between the parties. And, you know, the Republicans, a lot of them now are looking at, the big picture, so to speak, and they're realizing that they could potentially lose the White House and would be in a position where Hillary Clinton would, or Bernie, or possibly Bernie Sanders would be in a position to appoint a Supreme Court justice. And they kind of want to go with what they know as opposed to something that could be much worse. And, you know, there's talk of that, you know, you've seen a lot of this little mention on the Internet and other places that potentially the next president, if they're a Democrat, could potentially nominate Barack Obama as a Supreme Court justice.
Yeah,
really
right.
That would
right.
drive the Republicans crazy, and that would be really something, the revenge coming back to get them if they blocked it. So, and that's
right,
a
also,
position for life, obviously.
But,
not to cut you off there, Eric, but I also heard that he was being considered the president, that is, upon his retirement, to run ABC, the television network, and ESPN. You know, I was surprised to hear that. And as you all were talking, I just managed to switch phones, and I realize I see on the computer here that two arrests have been made in connection with the Raz Baraka threat.
Oh, really? Really?
Yeah,
no
two,
kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was a couple of days ago.
Uh-huh.
Interesting.
You know what? Let's jump back to Scalia. Chief Justice of Scalia on the Supreme Court. You make me lose my thought there. What's happened?
We're talking about Barack Obama potentially being nominated for the Supreme Court justice spot if Hillary can get a Democrat or somebody. So go ahead.
Yeah. Clarence Thomas, are you surprised that finally we found out that he had a voice? Isn't that amazing? He had said something.
Yeah.
He actually said something. He never even talked at all that I know of.
Yeah.
And then he actually said something. I was absolutely amazed. I think maybe because he didn't want that case.
Let me just jump in. We got Congressman Donald Payne on the line. Congressman, you called us. We have about 9 minutes left. We were just talking about maybe you want to get in on this. Really, we were just talking about the Supreme Court position available and how some of the Senate Republicans are willing now, some of them are coming around to at least talking to Merrick Garland and potentially wanting to let him have his hearing, even a couple of them. What do you think about that in terms of their long ball strategy? You know, they have a strategy because they want to get him in. They have a strategy that they want to let him get in because they don't want the potential of a Democratic president like Hillary or the next president, if they're a Democrat, to nominate the new Supreme Court justice. What do you think about that strategy, or what do you think could be the game plan?
Well, I think that's actually good strategy on their part. We support the president, but we, a few of us think that we would like to see someone more progressive chosen. To go on the Supreme Court, but I believe the president is trying to get on who he can, and actually, a potential nominee, had been looked at twice before for that seat, but other candidates won out over him, so he's been someone that's been in the president's pipeline for some time. And, it's a prudent strategy, to have.
Yeah, it's a great strategy. You mean in terms of presenting someone that the Republicans that would exhibit their willingness not to work at all, right? Not to want to have any kind of compromise with the president, right?
Absolutely. I'm sorry. With the whole craziness going on their side, they are getting concerned that the senators are going to lose the Republicans will lose the Senate once again. And so they're starting to soften their stances. There are a few of them that are in play. So they're trying to soften their stance and support the president's nominee now, so they don't look so anti-president going into this election. So they can say, look, we worked with him, we supported his candidate for the Supreme Court, and they'd be able to sidestep some of the criticism that the Democrats potentially would hurl at them in reference to being obstructionist.
Right. What do you think what's your opinion about the presidential election just in general, as opposed to who gives the Democrats the best choice to get in the White House and who would be the ideal Republican to run against?
Probably Donald Trump. I think that's why the Republicans are in such disarray in reference going into their convention. And believe me, they're behind doors trying to figure out any way they can stifle this candidacy from getting the allotted number of delegates needed to be the nominee. So they're working overtime trying to see what they can do not to have Donald Trump, because they know the end of their party as they've known it, and also gives the Democrats the best chance to win the White House.
Wow.
I just wonder, good evening, Congressman Wayne Gilman here. I was just wondering who would they put in his place right now if, you know, I'm assuming there'll be a floor fight.
Right. Probably someone we haven't seen yet, I would imagine. You know, how do you bypass the candidate with the most votes in the delegate, you know, in the election, and bypass him for number two? So I couldn't see how they would go to Cruz or Kasich, who is, I mean, the most moderate of the few.
Moderate,
you know what's interesting
exactly.
About, you know what's interesting about that? 15 to 20 years ago, John Kasich was the right-wing zealot crazy. Can you imagine that?
No.
They have moved so far to the right that,
yeah.
that Kasich is a moderate now. But he was one of the right-wing Republican crazies. Him,
exactly.
Peter King, and they are all, you would think they were moderates now. It's amazing.
That's right.
Yeah.
With Joe Scarborough, who was another kind of a crazy, you would think he's a reasonable guy now that he has a show. But all of those guys, you're right when you remind us of that, Congressman.
Well, in terms of Joe Scarborough, don't even bring him up in the same. Hey, how you doing? I'm on the radio show. How you doing? Good to see. Yeah, you know. I'm sorry, I'm picking my son up at the train station, coming back from youth and government, the youth and government meeting. It's really amazing how far to the right they've moved. And but John Kasich has done a lot of good work in Ohio, too. There was a black woman that was incarcerated because she had moved her child's school district. She was in another school district where she didn't live. And in Ohio, some way, that is a felony. And they put the woman in jail. Well, John Kasich pardoned her. And so he has a lot of goodwill from the African-American community in Ohio. Some of them still don't like him for some of the other things he's done. But that went a long way to, you know, softening his perception in the African-American community in Ohio. I think he'd be the best out of what we have now. But, you know, they keep talking about the Speaker of the House taking it. But I don't see him – he didn't want to be Speaker, so I don't see where
right.
he'd want to be Vice President.
Exactly.
Well, Congressman, I wanted to follow up, but we only have a minute 30 seconds. So we're going to let you go.
Right.
We know that you picked your son up from youth
well,
and government.
Make your question short. I'll make my answer short.
I kind of forgot. I was going to ask you why you wanted Joe Scarborough.
Oh, yes, yes. My point, yeah. I'm sorry. My son was getting in the car. Joe Scarborough was a backbencher, never meant anything in the Republican leadership while he was there, period.
Period.
And
okay.
And a backbencher is someone that didn't have real influence.
Wow. And just as go along for the ride, basically, right?
Exactly. And now he's become this great, you know, pontificator of Republican. You know, he was a backbencher, as they call him. And I've heard my colleagues describe him that on numerous occasions.
Wow. Well, there it is from Congressman Donald Payne. I always thought that he probably was a backbencher type or some other words I call him in the morning when I'm watching a TV show that I can't say here. But thank you, Congressman Donald. Thank you, Congressman Donald Payne Jr., for calling in and all the good work. We want you to call back and tell us about the legislation that you've recently had passed out of committee for Homeland Security, the funding priorities for Homeland Security grants. We want to talk to you about that at another time. We hope you'll come back. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Take care. Wayne Gilman.
Yes, sir.
Wayne Gilman, once again, the co-host. Thanks for calling in. Sign off, Wayne.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay,
and my regards to everybody.
All right. Bye-bye. My name is Eric Payne. I'm the co-host, son, and you are?
Kay Payne, Kay Thompson Payne.
All right, on the Kay Thompson Live Show. Thanks for listening, everybody. Listen to us again next week, live 8 to 9 p.m. on blogtalkradio.com/Kay Thompson Live. You can listen to us live then, 8 to 9 p.m., or listen to the show archive. That's it. We're out. Bye-bye.